So spending a whole bunch of money to control the local site runoff, it's not going to help quicken stream erosion in Salinas. Now,
could I just interrupt you one second, and I'll stop the clock, just to be fair. Aren't we really trying to address the impervious substrates in the city and the potential for additional impervious substrates that are going to be installed with development? Aren't we trying to get a handle on that right now?
Chairman Young, in our standards, we've done that. In fact, we've made a point to oversize our BMPs, our swales, to accommodate additional volumes. This technique is also used in Contra Costa for those sites that are subject to have off-site erosion properties. We apply that to all sites in Salinas because we wanted to create additional infiltration in the site, in the sites in Salinas. So we've made accommodations to do that. But that's very easy. It's very easy to do. You don't have to do costly modeling to do that. Basically, we're just looking at increasing the size of devices like swales to allow for greater filtration. So and as you know, low impact development is a requirement in Salinas, and we've been implementing for 3 years. We've done a lot of it. As you know, I've shown you pictures of sites all over the city which are doing that.
In one follow up question, you speak to the source for this water is being upstream.
Yes.
Right. When I look at the map, I see just rural ag uses upstream from the city itself. Is that
We can go back and look at the watershed. You'll see that most of the watershed is undeveloped. Basically, the mountain range behind Salinas consists of a lot of that natural watershed for the Gabilan Creek.
So we shouldn't be expecting to see any additional flow from upstream of the city in the years to come.
The erosive properties with regards to the flows upstream have a lot to do with the timing of the flows, and that's what I'm going to get to with regards to the flood impact. Let me explain that a little bit here.
Okay. I'm going to restart the clock now.
Okay.
Thank you.
So how is it that by controlling the flow in Salinas, the lower part of the watershed, do we negatively impact flood control? Well, I think Matt kind of mentioned it. If you delay the flows remember, we're delaying the flows to control, the premise here is erosion control, one-tenth the two-year flow. That's the output flow for the purposes of preventing erosion. Now you're basically detaining flows on the site, okay? That long-term detention to meter out the flows, now we'll delay the flows such that when the larger peak flows come down the hills, you'll now have volumes that coincide with those peak volumes. That's how this can negatively impact flood control. Now, there is the Gabilan watershed. You can see the large hills in the background. That's the watershed for Salinas. Carr Lake is at the bottom here. This, again, is something that the staff shown. This is the watershed. It goes into the next county. This is the city of Salinas right here. There is agriculture in this area. Most of the watershed here is undeveloped mountainous terrain. Unlike the question of erosion, flooding is a serious, serious issue in Salinas. Downstream of Salinas, you can see a NASA photo of flooding in the 90s. This occurred south of the city. This is the Blanco area. And in the middle of the city, right in the middle, sits a large flood area, Carr Lake. Now, Carr Lake acts very uniquely. Staff mentioned this very clearly. It serves as a choking point for flows coming from the watershed. It actually prevents a lot of flooding in this area because it basically it limits the flows. By doing that, it basically grows. And so during a large storm event, and this is not one of these real bad ones, you can see here that we've got people living right there. We've got a trailer park right there. Is there erosive flows in Salinas? This is, I showed this picture before. This is a Gavilan Creek. You know, this is the current Natividad Creek detention basin. This is basically full in the summertime. The reason why, and I don't know if I really should have shown that, but this area, the Salinas area, is so flat that water from the Gavilan Creek comes down and goes back up the Natividad to that detention basin. Because the area is so flat, we've got very low velocity flows down there, and that's why we have sedimentation issues, because as the flows come down the hill and they get to a level area, sedimentation just drops out. So the creek erosion issue is not to us as a huge an issue as the possibility for flood. So issues that possibly can cause flood damage or flood could impact flooding in Salinas are taken very seriously. One of the biggest discussion items between the city and the county currently is the issue about improvements to the reclamation ditch for the purposes of flood control. It's $120 million. Obviously, the question that's being discussed between the city and county is, how is this going to be paid for? It is an issue that we look at quite seriously. So I guess my fourth point is, with regards to the state of hydro modification, there does not seem to be a real consensus with regards to how this should be done. The consultant working for Steve Schimmick indicated that the Bay Area hydraulic model has problems. There were millions of dollars spent on that. He did not recommend it. Contra Costa has a different set of criteria. As you probably know, there is discussions throughout the Central Coast about how this is to be done. This is something that could be very costly for Salinas to do. We don't see a real reason why we should do it this time. We should wait for this subject matter to be kind of developed for implementation. I think really it's, why Salinas, why now? Is there an imperative environmental reason why we have to do this today? It's not in our permit. We'd like to go forward and complete and finalize this document. We think this hydro modification requirement is like trying to swap flies with a shotgun in a glass house. Any questions?
Any board questions? Not right now.
Okay.
You still have 5.5 minutes?
I'll reserve those for questions.
Okay. All right.
Can I have a couple minutes to rebut?
Sure. Go ahead.
Well, in response to comments that these required revisions were not vetted, I believe that is the purpose of this public process today. We've been revising this document for going on a year now, and it's clear to me that if we continue to have these iterations of revisions, we're not going to get a document that ultimately controls hydro modification, which is the intended purpose of the stormwater development standards. You've stated clearly that maximum extent practicable means implementing low-impact development. Low-impact development is all about controlling hydro modification. I think it's unfair to use the Water Board's previous financial and technical assistance to suggest that the staff can't propose additional revisions to the document. What Mr. Niizawa is asking you to do is to essentially forgive requirements to control hydro modification. I think that's unacceptable. I believe that if the document does not control hydro modification, it does not meet the maximum extent practicable standard. Carl mentioned modeling, computer modeling. That's not essential for all projects. The proposed revisions that staff the table of required revisions provides an alternative. And a project applicant can divide the project up into discrete drainage management areas and use the good old rational method to comply with that requirement. Carl also mentioned the need to match hydrographs. To be clear, that particular requirement only applies to projects that that create more than 1 acre of imperviousness. I think that's a very reasonable requirement. To suggest that hydromodification control is not required by Salinas's NPDES permit is not entirely accurate. The 2005 NPDES permit specifies that the development standards must prevent erosion and protect stream habitat. The NPDES permit also specifies that the development standards control the 85th percentile storm. Carl's correct that hydromodification control is an evolving area of science, but I mentioned in my presentation a manual that just came out which suggests that stormwater managers are gelling on this this idea of controlling hydromodification by controlling the volume resulting from an 85th or 90th percentile storm event, which is what staff's proposed revisions to the document promote. So my recommendation remains the same.
Okay. Well, we have some speakers, additional speakers, that wish to address the board.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Can I ask a question of,
course.
Our staff? Matt, how do you respond to Carl's comments that the requirements that we're trying to get adopted today would actually make flooding worse? He said, if I got this correct, that by delaying local flows, by delaying stormwater flow on site, by delaying its flow off site, you would cause that flow, the local flow, to coincide with larger flows from upstream, with the peak of the larger flow from upstream.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to illustrate my position with those conceptual hydrographs that showed if you properly implement low-impact development to mimic natural hydrology, you're not increasing the volume of water coming out of that drainage area, and you're not causing a delay in that hydrograph to coincide with the larger hydrograph of the Gavilan watershed. In short, if you're properly implementing low-impact development, you're controlling flooding.
Maybe we should ask Carl that question.
I have an expert here, and I guess he's probably better to respond to this. Harvey Oslick is with the firm of RBF. He was formerly with the firm of Shofton Wheeler. Shofton Wheeler did extensive studies, not with conventional, but obviously with the Corps of Engineers Heck-Ross modeling, to look at these flooding issues, which I've shown you, and to look at solutions. So he's very familiar with it.
Of course, have him address us.
Good afternoon. My name is Harvey Oslick. I work for RBF Consulting. I'm consulting for the city of Salinas. I've been involved in stormwater issues in the Salinas area for about 10 years. I've developed models of the reclamation ditch system. I've also have extensive experience in hydromodification. I've designed hydromodification basins to meet the Santa Clara Valley requirements, and I've designed facilities using the Contra Costa guidelines. So I'm very familiar with hydromodification and what that entails. I want to point out a few things that seem to be a little confusing to me about some of the discussion. And the July 25th revision to the design standards included meeting a 85th percentile storm treatment. It was moved up front into the document. It had to do with that 0.22 inches per hour and the 0.6 inches. And there was more guidelines in the report about exactly how that stuff gets used in design. Because I'm in the shoes of somebody who designs facilities, so I'm somebody who'd be using this document, and I would want to see that, yes, it's actually usable. And in to the extent that it was going to ask you to a designer to size swales and bioretention facilities to basically in accordance with the CASCA guidelines, which is in accordance with the numeric criteria that are stated in the City of Salinas permit. That was in the document that was in the July 25th document. The city opted to actually add that the peak flow attenuation criteria as part of this of a process to try to have everything consolidated so that a designer looking at this manual is seeing all the requirements. Here's the low flow, meet the 85th percent, treat the 85th percentile using LI.